Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're rebuilding an old-school VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into something that actually works in a jungle or old-school D&B groove, not just a nostalgic chord, a proper rhythmic weapon. The idea here is simple. We want that late 80s, early 90s rave energy, short, brassy, slightly pit-wobbled, a bit noisy, and full of tape-worn attitude, but the important part is how it behaves in the track. In D&B, a stab like this is not there to hold long harmony. It's there to jab, answer, punctuate, and push the break forward. So first, start clean. Load up a stock synth like Wavetable or Analog. Keep the patch basic. Don't overthink it yet. Build a short chord stab, something with a minor 7th, a minor 9th, a sus 2, or even a simple power chord style voicing. Keep the envelope snappy. Short decay, no sustain, and a release that drops off fast enough to leave space for the next hit. Why this works in D&B is because jungle stabs are basically percussive harmony. They behave like drum parts with notes attached. If the source is too long, it starts fighting the break. If it's too soft, it disappears. You want a clear front edge and a fast fade, so the groove stays tight. Now program the rhythm against the break, not just on top of it. That's the difference between a random chord and a real jungle phrase. Try placing the stab on the offbeat after the snare, or just before a kick, or as a call and response answer at the end of a bar. A really classic move is to hit on the end of one, then answer the snare, then change one note in the second bar. Simple, but effective. What to listen for here is whether the stab makes the break feel more urgent. That's the test. If the snare starts feeling smaller, the stab is probably too long or too busy. If the groove suddenly locks in and the drums feel more animated, you're on the right path. Once the rhythm feels good, it's time to dirty it up, but with control. A solid starter chain is saturator, autofilter, chorus ensemble, then a touch of echo or reverb, and finally a Q8. Keep it musical. You're not trying to destroy the sound. You're trying to make it feel sampled, worn, and slightly unstable. Use saturator with a little soft drive, maybe somewhere in that 2 to 6 dB zone to begin with. That gives density and a slightly crushed front edge. If needed, soft clip can help too. Then bring in auto filter and shape the tone. A low pass somewhere around 3 to 8 kHz can immediately push it into that old system, tape, and speaker memory zone. Chorus should stay subtle. You want drift, not massive trance width. Echo can add a tiny bit of memory if you keep feedback low and the repeats short. EQ8 is where you clean up the low mid mess and tame any brittle top end. What to listen for now is whether the stab still sounds like a chord, just a degraded one. If it turns into generic distortion noise, you've gone too far. The magic is in the balance. You want the identity of the chord to survive the processing. At this point, make a choice. Do you want it more sampled and battered, or more club tight and controlled? If you want the sound to feel ripped off an old tape, push the saturation harder, lean into filtering, and let the wobble and smear be part of the identity. If you want it to sit more cleanly in a modern D&B mix, keep the core more focused, high pass more deliberately, and preserve the transient a little more. That choice matters, because old-school character can either be the whole sound or just the texture on top. If the rest of the track is already heavy with breaks and bass, a tighter stab can be the smarter move. If the track is raw and intentionally nostalgic, go harder on the grime. Now print it, resample the stab, or freeze and flatten it so it becomes audio. This is a big old-school move, because once it's printed, you can treat it like a sample. That's where the Rebel Jungle workflow starts. Slice it, nudge hits a few milliseconds, trim the starts, reverse tiny tails if you want a broken edge, and duplicate versions so you can move fast later. A really useful trick is to print two or three versions early. Keep one cleanest usable take, one dirtier or more filtered take, and one chopped or shorter version. That gives you arrangement options without reopening the sound design every 5 minutes. Huge time saver. Then shape the attack and tail so it locks with the drums. This is where the groove really gets dialed in. If the stab is too soft, it won't cut through the break. If it's too sharp, it can sound too modern and lose that VHS character. Trim the dead air at the front. Shorten the tail so it leaves room for the next kick or snare. If it's poking too hard, reduce the transient a little instead of just turning it down. If it feels too polite, add a touch more saturation rather than making it louder. What to listen for here is whether the stab and the snare can coexist. The snare should still feel like the anchor. If the stab is stepping on that backbeat, move it earlier, shorten it, or thin out some mid-range around the snare's core area. In jungle and old-school D&B, the snare has to keep its authority. Now bring in the bass line and test everything together immediately. This is the real check. Solo sound design can lie to you. In context, the truth shows up fast. The stab should support the drums and bass, not float above them like a separate song. If the low mids start to cloud the kick and snare relationship, use a Q8 and carve gently around 200 to 400 Hz. If the stab feels too thin once the bass comes in, add a small boost somewhere in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz range instead of trying to make it heavier with low end. In this style, presence usually beats thickness, and keep checking mono. If you've used chorus or width, the core hit still needs to survive in mono. If it collapses, reduce the widening on the main stab and keep stereo movement for the top texture or the effect return. The center of the sound should still punch. A really strong old-school stab becomes even better when you automate it with phrase logic. Don't automate everything. Pick one or two moves that matter. Maybe the filter opens a little into the drop. Maybe the saturator drive rises on the last bar of a phrase. Maybe the delay send comes up on a transition hit. Keep it musical and section-based. Think in 4, 8, or 16 bar movement. A clean arrangement approach is to start with the dry, tight version. Then add a little more saturation and delay in the next phrase. Then maybe switch to a higher inversion or a chopped response note in the next section. Then strip it back before the drop hits again. That kind of movement gives the tune life, without cluttering the spectrum. If you want a second variation, keep it simple and meaningful. Maybe a higher voicing. Maybe a band-passed version. Maybe a slightly longer tail. Maybe a chopped call and response. The point is contrast, not reinvention. The listener should recognize the motif, but feel that the section has moved forward. One really good mindset shift here is to treat the stab like a percussion part with harmony attached. That's the old-school D&B way. Groove first, chord quality second. If the stab sounds amazing in solo but makes the loop less urgent, it's too decorated. A more minimal stab with the right rhythm will often hit harder than a richer one. Also, don't be afraid of parallel dirt. If you want more grime without losing punch, duplicate the stab, distort the duplicate more heavily, bandpass it, and blend it quietly under the clean core. That keeps the attack readable while adding ugly texture underneath. Very useful for darker rollers and jungle tech energy. And one more thing. After you print the stab, micro-editing is often more powerful than more plugins. A tiny trim on the front, a slightly shorter tail, a small timing nudge, or a reversed bit of audio can make the whole thing feel much more authentic. This is the kind of detail that separates a decent stab from one that really breathes in the track. The final mix goal is straightforward. Keep the stab out of the sub-zone, usually below about 120 to 180 Hz, and let it live mostly in the mid-range. That's where the identity is. If the break is dense, the stab should act like a mid-range hook rather than a broadband wall of sound. You want it to sit with the drums, not erase them. So here's the full idea in one line. Start with a simple chord, make it percussive, degrade it with restraint, print it to audio, trim it to the groove, and then test it with the break and bass until it feels like a proper jungle answer. Short, rude, worn, and alive. That's the vibe. For the practice exercise, build one usable VHS rave stab in 15 minutes using only stock Ableton devices. Keep it simple. Use one chord voicing, no more than 3 processing devices before resampling, and make one two-bar pattern first. Then print 2 versions, a dry controlled one and a dirtier or more filtered one. Keep the main version mono-compatible, and make sure it leaves space for the break and sub. If you want the homework challenge, push it a step further. Make 3 printed versions of the same stab, clean, dirty, and chopped. Build a 4-bar loop with one main stab pattern and one alternate variation in bar 3 or 4. Keep the whole thing performance ready and check it at full volume with drums and bass. If the snare still punches, the sub stays clean, and the stab feels like a purposeful jungle phrase instead of just a retro chord, you've nailed it. So remember the big takeaway. A great old-school VHS rave stab is not just about nostalgia. It's about rhythm, restraint, and character. Make it short, make it readable, make it a little worn, and make sure it works with the break. Do that, and you've got a real D&B tool, not just a cool sound. Now go build it, print it, and hear it in the mix.